following audio is from The Exchange Church. More information is available at theexchangemi.com.
Let's turn to Psalm 119. I know we've been going through this for several weeks. And we're going to read 105 to 112. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you are so gracious to us. Your mercy is new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We are unfaithful. We fail daily, sometimes minutely. We fail, Lord. But you and are rich in mercy, and you've given us the strength to obey through your Spirit, and we are so thankful for your word. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So, Joel mentioned that I am from Africa, and yes, I grew up there, and right now I actually am in Lincoln Park, Michigan, which is just south of Detroit. We're called Downriver Rats. Have you ever heard that term before? Okay. So I proudly wear that name. I'm a Downriver Rat. I'm thankful for what God has done through all the world. It's having grown up where I grew up. I got to sit in a village church called Kokolo Church, where Pastor Edward Mwanisa preaches. And the beauty of sitting on these hard benches that you think that this is pretty comfortable, but you sit on these hard benches and you can barely stand sitting there because your back is hurting. But the same gospel truths that are preached there help people there to love God. And it's the same truth that we're going to hear today, which is the gospel. And David is no stranger to the good news. He has other promises that he's looking at. He has less revelation than we do now. But David is sharing the gospel here in this passage. Now, how many of you have experienced darkness? We're a small church, you can raise your hand. Experienced darkness? Okay, come on, guys. Last night it was dark, so everybody's hand should go up. Right? You may be thinking in the context of this sermon series, right, darkness is kind of a figurative thing, right? But where I grew up, when we had this wonderful thing called load shedding. Ever heard of load shedding? Well, that's when the power goes out because they are trying to share power with other nations, so they don't let you have power. And I remember laying on my back at night and having one of those alarm clocks you plug into the wall. We don't use those anymore because we all use our phones. But back then, having an alarm clock where the red letters would light up my room. And the power would go out and the entire city would lose light. In Lincoln Park, when the power goes out, just a few neighborhoods lose their power, and you can go outside and you can see this glow of the city up in the sky, right? So it's not really dark. But in Zambia, when the power would go out, it would go out. And it's kind of darkness where I would open my eyes and my eyes were still closed. That kind of darkness, right? You ever experienced that kind of darkness? Or maybe you've experienced a different kind of darkness, the kind of darkness of losing a loved one out of the blue. Or you've experienced a child who chose a very difficult path. Or the darkness of finding out about cancer of a loved one. Or of someone you love in the church who has chosen a difficult path to go into sin, and not knowing what is my next step from here. And I think David, in the passage that we're going to read today, he answers the question, how can a believer take the next step of obedience in darkness when they're experiencing the suffering of life? So let's read Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. David shows us an example of someone who has put their trust in God in the face of suffering. And I think what he's saying here can be summarized in this simple sentence: dependence dispels darkness. Dependence on God and his word, his promises, helps the person who's put their trust in God to walk in a way that they can obey in spite of all the suffering they've experienced. Dependence dispels darkness. And there's three big ways in which David deals with the suffering, and three ways in which he depends. So now, the Psalms aren't they're not really written like a sermon, okay? So I was having a hard time of so how am I going to talk about this in a structured way when David keeps jumping around? He keeps jumping between ideas. And these are the three ideas. I think I'm just going to put them out there, and we, as we read through the passage, we can say, oh, this fits under that. This fits under that, okay? So the three things that David does here to deal with suffering is he remembers the promises of God. He resolves to obey in the face of suffering, and he relies on God to help him, okay? So can you repeat after me, okay? Remember, rely, and resolve. Remember, rely, and resolve. Okay, good job. So let's read through the passage one more time and look at what David does. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Now, if you're like me, when I was a kid and I heard this the first time, you're thinking, okay, God's word kind of tells us what to do in life, right? It tells us what the best next step is. And I think that's true. God's word does give us wisdom for the next step in our lives. What's the best choice to make? But I think David's getting to something a little bit deeper here. He is saying God's word gives us a perspective on the circumstance that we're currently in. God's word actually gives us hope and understanding to make the next step of obedience. Because think about it. If you just say, I think I can, like the little engine that could as you go up the hill, right? I'm going to do this. Is that really going to help you obey? I don't know about you, but for me, that does not work, right? Just resolving is not enough. Actually, God's word gives us the hope we need to take a step of obedience, because he unplugs the need for us to reach for other things to solve the problem that we're facing right now. And so when he says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path, he is remembering the promises of God. And he says, I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. Here in verse 106, he's resolving. He's saying, you know what? I am going to obey. But it's not an empty kind of resolving. I think I can, so I'm going to do it. No, it's a confidence in what God has said, that God is really going to do what he said, that he's going to make good on the promises in his word. And so when David says, I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will obey your righteous laws, it's a statement of faith that God will make good on his promises. So he remembers, he relies on God's promises. Verse 107, he says, I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. He looks at the promise of God, and he says, God, make good on this promise. Lord, I need you to help save my life. I'm in real struggle right now. There's real physical things that are happening to me right now that I do not know what to do with. And I need you to make good on the promise that if I love you and love your law, that you will bless and take care of me. And so he pours out his heart in dependence on God. He throws himself on God, saying, I can't do it. I need your help. I can't solve the issues I'm going through right now. And he says, preserve my life according to your word. David knows the promises of God. You may be thinking, what are the promises of God that David had? I mean, we know that Jesus came for us, right? And if we turn from our sin and we trust in Christ, we have hope of a future inheritance with Christ. And David had a similar hope. He had a hope that God was a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That God was a God who would forgive him if he sinned. That God was a God who had made promises to his father Abraham that God would actually bless Abraham's descendants, and that if anyone cursed Abraham's descendants, God would curse them. And so, and David is looking at these promises in the Old Testament. There's one more promise I think is really important. In Deuteronomy 30, Moses says that God will give his people the power to live in a way that honors him. He says, don't say it's too high, we can't attain it. Don't say it's too far, we can't get to it. Don't say it's too deep, who will go and get it for us? No, the word is near you. It is in your hearts and in your souls so that you can obey it. God had given David this promise that if he committed to obey, that God would give him the strength to obey. So, he says, accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth, and teach me your laws. So David here, he's going through this sequence. He's saying, Lord, I need your help. I can't get out of this situation I'm in without you. And then he's stepping into praise. He's saying, Lord, I praise you. You are the one who, you're going to make good on your promises. I'm confident that you will. He's praising God. But he still needs God's help to figure out how to deal with the problem. He says, Lord, and teach me your laws. So David, he wants to take a step of obedience. And he believes that God is going to help him. But he doesn't know how this promise out here applies to real life right now. How am I supposed to obey what you've said in your word, Lord? Because I don't see a way to do it. There's this other solution out here that seems great, that will solve my problem. But I want to obey you. Lord, how does your promise apply to this situation? How can I step out in obedience and obey in spite of the difficulty I'm in? And so he's asking God to give him wisdom to live out God's law based on his promises. Verse 109, he says, though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. He is able to confidently resolve to obey because he has confidence that God will make good on his promises. And he points out what some of those promises are. He remembers, Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. David, like Abraham, had faith in God's promises. Abraham never saw the full bloom of God's promises, did he? Abraham was looking forward to, Hebrews says, forward to a city whose builder and maker is God. Abraham trusted in the promises of God. And just like that, David is saying, your statutes, what your word says in those first five books of the Pentateuch, that one day we will have a complete and perfect land with you, God, where you will be our God and we will be your people. I rest in those promises. Your law is my heritage forever. Now, you may be thinking, well, how does this apply to me, right? I mean, David, that's good for David. You may be saying in your heart, like, are you just saying that if I really resolve really hard, if I just think I'm going to obey, if I resolve like David did, that I'm going to obey? And I'd say no, because just resolving to obey is not enough. That illustration of the train going up the hill, right? I think I can. I will obey. That is not enough. No, we actually have to put our confidence in the promises of God and have true faith, okay? My son, he's three, and every time we go into the pool, he has this fear of jumping into the pool. I think he just doesn't want to get his face under the water or like water in his ears or something. And I'll put him up on the side of the pool and I'll say, Caspian, jump. And he'll go like up there and he'll just say, no, I can't. And I'll, it's okay, daddy will catch you. I won't let your head go under the water. Don't you believe that daddy's going to catch you? And he's like, yeah. And he goes up to the edge, but he will not jump. And it's a perfect illustration of the way our hearts are, isn't it? We often say we believe something, right? But when it comes down to actually taking the step of obedience and faith, which it takes real faith to obey God in circumstances that seem like we have no control, it takes real faith to do that. When push comes down to shove, We turn to something else. Maybe for you, for me, it is often when a bill comes in that I don't expect or some financial thing happens, my heart does not say, it does not turn to God and throw itself in dependence on God immediately. It goes, credit cards. I'm going to use debt to solve my problem. Not that it's wrong to use card, right? But it's my heart that runs to other things in dependence when push comes to shove, right? And Caspian is yet to jump into my arms, into the water. I'm hoping he will eventually. But my hope is for you and for me that when it comes down to it, that we will remind ourselves of what God has said. Think of 1 Peter Chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Praise be to God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope and into an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade." And we, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have this promise that no matter what happens now, that we have a future with Christ. We have a future that is secure. And it's not based on how well we do now. It's based all on what Jesus has done. And not only that, Jesus, when he came, he lived perfectly the way we couldn't. He died sacrificially in our place so that if we've put our faith in Christ, when God looks at us, God sees Christ's perfect righteousness. He has done everything right. And when God looks at us, he sees what Christ has done, not what we have done. He lived perfectly. He died sacrificially in our place. And then he rose victoriously. And he offers two things, two hands, right? Two things. He offers the Spirit of God, who gives us the power to live in a way that honors him now. And the power, well, the future hope of being with him forever in his kingdom. He gives us the Spirit, who gives us the strength to endure the suffering. And so, we can have confidence that even though we don't know why God is putting this thing in our path, we can step forward in obedience instead of reaching outside of what God has given us to try to solve our problem now. So David remembers the promises of God. He resolves to obey on the basis of those promises. And he relies on God. He cries out to God. He recognizes his inability. He can't apart from God's help. When we remember the promises of God and we resolve to obey and we rely on God, then we are enabled by God to live in a way that honors him. And that is the beauty of the gospel. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that you are so patient and kind towards us. While we were still your enemies, you paid the price that we deserved.